Praise the Lord. Again, welcome to the School of Prayer. Today, we are going to study a bit, continue to pray. And as usual, before we start to study, we take our declaration of understanding. All right, let's do that quickly. One, two, let's go. Now I declare.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I am being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats quickly. Psalm number 63. Let's begin from there today. Psalm number 63. I want us to read from verse 1 and then we end in verse 8. Are you there? All right, let's read together. Let's go. Oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary. You see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Amen. I want you to read that verse 8 again. One, two, let's go.
My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me.
Let's say one more time. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. If you read that in the King James, it says something which I love so beautifully. It says that my soul followeth hard after thee. My soul followeth hard after thee. Now, we began to pray along these lines when we commenced praying for this year about this desire of our hearts concerning following the Lord with a greater zeal, a greater determination than ever before. Now, let me say this again. I said it last time. It is what you are looking for that God really will give to you. But many times, not the way you are looking for. How do I say it? Not the way you expect it. You can look for something, I said it before, and it has things tied to that thing. When you get what you have found, and then you find the things added to it, you may not be happy. Do you get my point? And we saw that from the book of, from the story in Exodus. When I said that, of course, Psalms was talking about it, that they lusted after meat in the wilderness. God gave them meat according to their lusts, except that it added what? Leanness to their soul. And you must understand something about that leanness. I need to emphasize it. Last time I was trying to talk about it, but went into giving exhortation on having the valuable, that is having the right values when it comes to making the right decisions in life. Leanness of soul. Leanness of soul is a terrible thing. You don't want to get to a point in life, you need faith and you don't have it. I hope you're getting my point. You know, no, let me say it again. You know those days, that is, you don't. Let me just repeat that. You don't want to get to a point where you need faith and you don't have it. You know those days when I got to church in Lagos, my pastor preached something. No, sorry. I read it in something he wrote. And he said that the reason why, what's their name? Joshua and Caleb could believe God was because they were eating manna. And I was like, how, of course, you know, things like that. Some people just argue about everything. I didn't argue, you know, but I didn't understand. But I, you know, it took me, I think, it's at least 15 years later before I finally got the point. I said 15 years just trying to be conservative. I think it was more than 20 years before I finally got the point. That the reason why Joshua and Caleb were not afraid of the giants was because they had been eating manna. While the others were lusting for the things of Egypt. They ate manna begrudgingly. They ate manna, they were not happy with it. They gave it a funny name. What is this? Do you get my point? There's a principle behind it. You can feast on things that would deprive you of faith when you really need faith. Faith is a quantity, spiritually speaking. It is a quantity. It can be measured. That's what I mean by quantity. You know, if you do physics, some of you, you run away from physics, even in the SS1. But what I mean is, when I say quantity now, is a mass. You know, you measure mass. Do you get my point? You measure time. You measure velocity, stuff like that. Faith is like that also. It's measurable, which means it can deplete. If you use it recklessly, it finishes. That is why, no, I gave illustration last time. You are getting married. Please don't use all your energy, faith energy, on the wedding ceremony. Reserve a huge chunk for the marriage. The faith you use to download a one in town and one in a decade wedding gown is going to deprive you of something else. So I can't want a one in town wedding gown. You shouldn't pray about it. Just desire it, think about it, and leave it. If God adds it, let him add it. If you can afford it, buy it. Don't wake up every morning drawing it on the wall. Kaboshkaya la to skate on gown. God will enjoy you. I mean, like, are you normal? If you can afford it, just buy it. You can admire it, but to start sowing seed towards it, you are confused. There are things you pursue, and God will just say, like, this guy doesn't have sense. Somebody else will buy without effort, at least not expending faith. Do you get my point? That's what I was trying to say. It's currency. Faith is like currency. If you have 1 million naira, are you getting me? And you decide to use, okay, this wedding thing we're talking about, this marriage thing that's coming up. So marriage is coming up, and you have 1 million naira. And you decide to kill the whole thing to do your hair. And I know the problem with it, you will wash that hair within the next few days. Just a few days. By tomorrow, now wedding hair normally is not the normal one you do. You won't use a wig, you just go and do it properly. The next day, it must scatter in Jesus' name. It must scatter. And the money is gone. You know, you start looking very foolish. Now, your neighbor could afford it, and that's the person you are copying. Let me not start on copying people. All right? Let me not start on that. But the point I'm making is that that's how faith is. Exercise yourself on things that are important. There are things that God says, I will add. For example, I don't believe, believing God for a holiday of a lifetime. See, take a weekend, rest, sit in your house, watch preaching, watch movies, eat all kinds of things. What is believing God to be able to buy tickets for four, to disappear to one corner of the world that you haven't seen before? Is it a bad thing? No, but you can't afford it. And I forbid you from making a prayer point. That's where I'm going. Small tip of life, all right? Before you make such things prayer points, you should have prayed that God, how much is all of this? They give you the sum. Give me the resources to give twice this amount out to preaching the gospel and to helping the needy. When you have satisfied such things, then you cannot be adding these other ones to it. Not in prayer, or at least in desire. How many of us actually exercise ourselves in this particular way? But so I don't know. That's one key. Let me say that for 1 second. Christians are forbidden from wasting money on things that are not important. Now, I always add this thing. There are things you do with pocket change. I hope you get my point. One of the ways you know that you have qualified to do something as change in your pocket is that giving it out on a regular basis is not a habit with you. Do you get my point? If I decide, for example, there's this restaurant in town where one plate of food is 100K. And that's where I want to go and eat. I tell my wife, come on, let's go and eat. Now, it's not an evil thing. Please, there are places where they sell food like that. They are not evil. It's not for people who can't afford it. That's all. No, you should know. Do you get my point? There are places where they sell food at $150 that price. And listen, both of you have the same amount of satisfaction when you are going home. Listen, know the truth? The satisfaction is the same. One of my friends in Lagos, one of my colleagues, one day she said something. When she got married, there's some bread in Lagos, let me not mention the name, very exclusive, expensive. She used to go out and buy it and make sure her husband was enjoying himself. She just married. So always making nice food with bread. You know, you get my point? So one day, somebody mistakenly bought, you know, how many people know agege bread? Whether she's the one that mistakenly bought agege bread, though. Say, the way the husband rose, ah, let's eat correct bread for once. She was, we're in the same office. The team pained her. Now, let me explain. This bread she's been buying is like 5 times the price of agege bread. And those is in Lagos, it was not everywhere they sold it. You had to go all the way to Allen or Kwebi Axis to buy. She used to go out of her way from work by to make sure her husband is enjoying. The man was eating it and like, now wow. Then the day he saw agege bread, he said, let's eat correct bread for once. She felt bad. She said, gosh, he said for once. He didn't even say, let's just eat the variety. Because the guy, you know, there are some breads that you can't open them and stick a whole moimoi inside. They can't hold. All this high-tech bread, there's no way to... There's no way. This is not meant for mayonnaise, sausage, the omelette, butter. But to open and seal it back. How use expensive bread and wrap a car? They don't even wrap. You know those high quality bread? They don't wrap. They break. Because they are halfway between cake and normal bread. So you have you have akara, you have pap. They don't go. The Lord is good. How am I saying all of this? So you see, satisfaction, is inside the soul. It's not the thing. Back to the media, I'm trying to say. If I decide I want to go to that kind of place to go and eat, because it's not a problem. See, how much is a plate? 100K. So I go and eat, drink. By the time we are leaving, it's 200K. Just two of us. Please don't come and look at me and say, why are you wasting money? It's not your money. Once it's not your money, it's not your business. How I spend it is between me and God. But I want to give a tip to Christians. By the time you're eating like that, your regular offerings and gifts should be like that. If pastor has to invite a special guest to get 100K out of you in church, that food is poisonous. I forbid you from going there. I hope you're getting my point. If we need to, today I have a special anointing to help somebody move from another level before you can drop that 100K, 200K as offering, then that food is too expensive. Don't eat it again. No, I don't want an explanation. Don't go there again. If you want to go there, make sure that at least 2 Sundays a month, you drop such a thing. Just normal offering, nothing, not big. Just, of course, you don't carry cash. Just let's offering time, blessing time. Just open your app. Shoo, 100. Another 100. That's when you can be eating it. If you are not giving it, you can't be eating it. Write that down. If you are not giving it, you can't be eating it. The Lord is good. What's the point I'm making? Let's use our faith for things that are important. Let me add the main thing I'm trying to say. So, we began this year trying to emphasize to us again that the most important thing the Holy Spirit is calling us to this season is a deeper walk with God. I hope you're getting my point. There's something that David said. He said, the godly ones in the land, they are my true heroes. See, sometimes you hear testimonies. Like I gave an example last time. You know, there's one I heard somebody talk about it. That this man, he died in that, as a result of that accident a week afterwards. But in the accident, his wife was seriously injured. And then they decided that she was dead at that time. They asked his son, how is mom? He said, I think she's dead. He's in his injured state. I said, this is how the story was told. He just put his hand back. He was thrown out of the car partly. So he put his hand back through the broken windscreen and told his son, put her hand in mine. And the guy did. And he prayed a very simple prayer. And he said, dear Lord, help us in our time of distress. Don't let mommy die. And the woman woke up and she lived. Now, when you hear testimonies like that, this is what I'm going to say. How does it do you? You know, you start playing your mind. When last did I pray and get this kind of dramatic result? And it's a good thing is a good way to react. It's a good way to react. You hear the testimony of somebody that, they were just shooting. The man, he didn't just bother. He just turned and decided to sleep. He said, if it was me, what will I do? I will be under the bed. Then you go and pray, say, Lord, what's happening to me? Listen, people, that's a good way to react. It's a good way to react. I said once when I was in school, now, those days, 20 naira was big money. Naira has changed value so much. It's difficult to tell stories that are more than 10 years old. Now, this story I'm telling you happened around 1989. 88, 89, that axis. How many years ago is that now? It's been a while, all right? Those days, but how I like to, if you went to the buka and you ate well, and they now put a bottle of Coke with your food for you to, settle it well, you paid 1 naira. That you ate rice, they put plantain, they put 1 nice or 2 pieces of fish, good size, they gave you a Coke, you paid 1 naira. Yeah, that's how we ate those days. So the naira has changed in value so much. And of course, now the biggest note we have is what? 1,000. That time, I think it was still 20 naira. 50 naira had not been released. Babangida released 50 naira, I think around 1989, 90, thereabout, was when 50 naira was released. Or is it 91? But it's early 90s or late, around 89. It's been a while, all right? That he released 50 naira. 100 naira came out shortly before I got married. 100 naira is still recent. Some of you think now you can't even buy 2 sachets of pure water. If I remember when I was getting married, one of my wife's uncles was spraying 100 naira. He was a sight to behold. He's spraying money. And it's 100 naira. He's like, hey, go. He's spraying 100. Yeah, it was new. That was 99. Okay? So, let me get back to my story. 20 naira was big that time. I was in my room. There was one sister that came with her friends. They came visiting. So, there was one brother that was in our room. So, he just played with her, took her bag, and took 20 naira out of it. 20 naira was what he took out of that bag. And of course, what is the normal thing? Give me my money back. So he laughed and just gave her her money back. And the girl said he could keep it. Now you have to understand, I was a student. She was a student. That guy was not exactly a student, a recent graduate. He just came, hang around with us a bit. And I was saying to her, like, he could keep it. You don't get my point. I had to tell you stories about, that was the largest note we had. That was going to give you, you can calculate how many meals. 3 days, you are eating well. Normally, we don't even eat. 4 days, you'll be well fed. You just dash somebody. Now, do you know the truth? That it didn't cross my mind to say, maybe her father is very rich. Which was very possible, I don't know. But I just realized somebody can give out 20 naira and not die. I looked at her like, what? I didn't say anything, no. I just kept quiet. I said, Father God, somebody just gave out 20 naira. Let that be my portion in Jesus' name. It was a prayer I prayed on the spot. I said, Father God, no, I didn't have much money. But I started praying to God to make it possible. And then one day, sometime later, I had just been refreshed, My parents just sent money. I had some money with me. One brother just said something that, he wanted to buy something. He needs to raise some amount of money, 15 naira needed to raise. I quickly opened my bag, brought off 20 naira and handed to him that he could have it. And a friend of mine was there. And he said, Banky, what was that? I said, I gave him 20 naira. Why? I said, no reason. I just wanted to give somebody 20 naira. Do you know, his head was, I could see it. The head was pulsating. Bam, bam, bam. What is going on here? Where I'm going is that it was the desire of my heart. The godly ones in the land, they are what? They are my two heroes, the true heroes. Listen to me, brethren. That's what we're talking about. Making the things of the Spirit your prayer point. I've been in place before. Somebody shows a kind of patience that I didn't know was humanly possible. And I left the place feeling very bad. In fact, one thing happened today. I saw one guy, these guys are selling side traffic. My daughter and I were driving down. So the guy knocked on the body of my car, not the glass. I was selling something. So I looked at him and took my eyes away. I recognized him. I thought, no, this guy, you know, there are people you've known for a long time selling. I know this guy, one troublesome human being. So I didn't answer him. The guy knocked on the glass again. I looked in the direction, on the body, didn't knock on the glass, just knocked on the body of the car. Bam, bam. So I looked in his direction. I took my eyes away. They did something like this, as if wind down. So I ignored him. You know what he did? He knocked again the third time. And I recognized this guy, troublemaker. So I wound down. No, before that, I said, if you knock that thing again, may God discipline that your finger. Don't worry, I said in the worst way. I was very angry. So my daughter was looking at me. So this time, I only knocked on the body of my car the third time. I was really angry this time. And I wound down my glass. Now my glass is kind of moderately tinted. So when I wound down, I said, you like trouble, right? He said, no, sir, I don't like trouble. I just want to greet you. In my mind, I don't want to buy anything. Then I realized that, no, he's not the guy I thought he was. He said, I'll be one of your people now. When you be did that side, I probably had come to Bible study once or twice before. And he was trying to greet me. The knocking of the door, the persistence was, Oga, wind down. I want to say hello. Ah! I wanted to dive under the dashboard. I felt so horrible. So, I brought up my hand, gave him a high five. Greeted him very low. I shook his hand. By that time, the traffic light had turned green, so we had to move. I just brought up my hand, gave him a high five. Greeted him, how are you doing? How's business? I told my daughter, I said, now, wow. I said, God, help me with patience. Just help me with patience. I said, I pray, you know. I said, God, please help me with patience. This guy had annoyed me so much. Eh? Because, you know, in my mind, you want to sell something I don't want to buy. Why are you now whacking? It didn't knock it out, but in my mind, why are you now banging on my door? There and then, I started praying for what? For patience. What am I going to say here? I've been to places before, and somebody will demonstrate a kind of calm spirit. Honestly, I will envy so much. I will go home to go and pray. I remember one day I was in the bank. It was one bank. One banking officer asked a customer a question. Her answer was so annoying. Now, I was a customer too, waiting to be attended to. I gave the woman one look. Like, in my mind, don't they have manners where you come from? This guy just asked you a simple question. Look at the way you answer. Is it because, I was angry. Righteous indignation. The banker answered, I'm so sorry, ma. I didn't mean any offense. Ah! The reason why, and he went ahead to explain. I don't matter, it's okay. Ah! I stopped now. This happened nothing less than 10 years ago. See, I'm still feeling bad with myself till today. And I said, Lord, how did you give him that kind of spirit? And you forgot me. Where was I when you were sharing out this kind of calm and patient spirit? She did not talk to me. See, as I vexed. The person she talked to answered with extremely calm. Oh, God, I left that place feeling like I needed work. It's as if I'm going to the mechanic. They need to unscrew my head, rearrange the screws. Like I told you, for some time when you are walking on the road, you shake like this, and you hear, Gbanam, is the screws that are not balanced? Is it? You need to have it retuned, retightened. You need to have things put in place. Now, this was long ago, really long ago, but I felt so bad, I remember that until today. That's a bank. So if you were the one on that seat, this is how you give the woman eye, go up and come down. Be questioning her background. What her father said to her and he did not say. How she listened and she didn't listen. And look at your junior, who is not even a preacher. Just deceived you with a simple word. A soft word that drives away wrath. Look at you.
Where am I going? These are the things we do with prayer. That's the primary thing. See, go around admiring good things. When you see somebody who's, even if it's a movie and they acted it, it doesn't matter. Somebody who's generous, that's, oh boy. Why are you in the mind? Why can somebody stop making excuses? He don't chop now. I ain't know what he don't chop. He has it. No. Ask yourself, why can't I be this generous? Why can't I be this patient with people? Why can't I be this calm? Why can't I be this trusting in God? I remember that building where we were that time. One funny thing happened. One day, I just got a call. That please come, there's trouble. I said, what is it? That the place had been marked for demolition. So, of course, I came down. So people were evacuating their things. Of course, the wood, now, it wasn't a threat. You could see other buildings had gone down. Many people may not know, New Haven, that road was a single lane road. What's on the right now? That's going from Otigba up there. That was the only road. That left side wasn't there. So they were constructing that left side. So when they were getting down here, decided to pull down that big building. Says coming down. Of course, we started parking and all of that. So one guy just looked. Later, he saw me. He said, Banky. Of course, they spared the building. That's how come it's still there. Long story about why it was spared. One brother now said that, Banky, when I heard he wanted to put that, I said, lie, it's not possible. Building where Banky did. Na lie. I felt bad. No, I felt bad. Me, that somebody's bragging on my anointing. He said, I was running up and down. Evacuating, removing things. The guy said, when I heard, I told them it's not possible. Building where Bad Bank is occupying, nobody's pulling it down. I said, Lord, give me as much faith in my anointing as much as some people have now. What is it? Seriously, when you see faith, calm faith, desire it. If you see a man love his wife, say, God, make me like this. This is when I was a resident doctor, you know, I had two seniors. One was a senior registrar, one was a consultant. I used to tell the guy, the senior registrar, I said, Oga, one day, I'll be like you. And I wasn't joking. I felt the guy knew everything. In fact, God used him to give me victory in one exam. I'll pass part one West African College postgraduate the exams. He walked in, one day I was in the office, he walked in, he said, Banky. He used to call me Banky. Banky, what do you know about this kind of disease of the kidney? We are pathologists. So I said, I reeled out everything that I knew. I told him, they told you that. He said, is that all? I said, sir, is there more? Then he opened his mouth and began to speak. Where I gave one point, he'll break the point into four. Now, I'm not exaggerating. And he'll explain this, explain this, explain that. He'll go ahead, Finally, I said, please, I said, chief, that's how we'll talk to ourselves in the province. I said, chief, please. This thing, you must have read it somewhere. You didn't invent this thing. How come you know this amount of stuff? Then he reached his hand into his drawer and brought out one book, hyper-specialized textbook, and gave it to me. I opened it. I quickly photocopied some pages so I could take it with me to go and read. And I read the book. I read it. Then I dreamt that that question came out in the exam, and it did. Our chief examiner, who was our departmental head of department in Lagos, when he saw what I wrote, he had to brag on. He said, "This boy too no book. That's me." But what was the inspiration? My senior registrar. We used to call him Minister for Education. He was just too good. So everywhere. We used to pray and say, one day. And it was a prayer point. Lord, Abba, it's one head he has. It's one, the same amount of heads do I have too, which is one. Give me understanding the way, and you know what? He did it too. Seriously. You have to be careful what you admire. As some of you are there on TikTok following celebrity, you have to know that you are walking in iniquity. You'll soon divorce your husband just for the fun of it. You know, they used to get notoriety. You soon tweet that you want to divorce your wife just so that it can be trending. You're following foolish people. There are some people you block. I read news every day, sometimes twice a day. I hardly click on entertainment news. Hardly. Who's marrying who? Doesn't concern me. Who's divorcing who? Mm-hmm. I see the headlines. I'm not clicking. I refuse. I tell my wife, I say, if I click on it, I'll have more things to think about. Let me think about how much Dangote is selling, mass, you know, who sells. That's better than who's dancing where, who's marrying who, who's divorcing who, who's marrying for the sixth time. Before you know, young boys go and look for braces for their teeth. Nothing wrong with their teeth, because they are watching Burna Boy. Yeah, I think I just said, young people, please listen. Just listen again, small aside. You just make a, you form this thing into a habit. I don't watch football, not because I didn't used to enjoy football as a young person. Because I found out I couldn't tolerate it. So I just told myself, don't watch football anymore. If you are doing football thing, I won't watch. Why? You didn't used to agree with my body. I told you, I used to literally get a fever if my team is playing. That is, you touch my body, it's hot. You'll be wondering, ah, you get malaria. I said, why go and get a stroke and die for nothing? Seriously. So, no, I stopped watching. After a few years, I wasn't missing it. People are up and I didn't even notice. They are playing one major football tournament. I had television, big television. I just walked past like it didn't happen. I'm not kidding. They can be playing finals of World Cup. And I said, I began feeling sleepy. To everybody, I would just get up and go and lie down and sleep. If Nigeria is not playing, I can watch it. If there's no team I like, I can watch it. But I can doze off while watching it. And it's a result of a habit I formed long ago. I'm not saying you should form it with football. Maybe you can tolerate it. Your heart is strong like this. Some people, their heart is made of, you know, titanium. So, doesn't disturb them. For me, it worries me. I don't know, once my friends came to watch match in my room. I ran into the kitchen. Because I had a small television those days. They gather, say, you know, boys like to gather when it's match time. So I carried my music player, enter into key, close the door, and put the music on loud. They couldn't hear it. I filled my, you know, I didn't want to hear commentary. I didn't want to hear, ooh, oh, I didn't want to hear anything. See, you have to know what is in agreement with your long life. Why am I telling the story? I formed a habit. You can form a habit of what you will not enjoy. You just started like, I don't want to watch. I don't want to watch. I don't want to participate. After a while, it becomes a habit with you. That's why I'm telling that story. In the same manner in this life, you watch and say, this is what I want to like. Like if I'm on, you know, sometimes I'm on YouTube, I'm going through YouTube shorts. Look, once they show the face of Billy Akon, I deliberately stop. Maybe I'm looking for something else, I will stop and click the like, you know, this like button, I will click it. Let it play. I will watch it for some time. Once a preacher that I recognize, I will slow down. I will stop. I will click the like. You know why I do the like? I'm letting it play once or twice. They update your algorithm so that they pop it up for you. I go watch MMA fight a few times. Once I carry the thing now, you will see guys begin box each other. I said, now me go watch MMA fight. They hardly show me some things other people watch because once it pops, I scroll past. When it is a preacher, I deliberately slow down and I like it. I let it play once or twice. Then I move to the next one. If it's a preacher again, I click like. I'm doing it deliberately so that if I pick it up again, you throw it in my face. I hope you're getting my point. This is how you build your spiritual life. You're deliberate about certain habits. If you see something, back to the main thing I'm saying, like I was talking with Junior yesterday. He said, no, we're just telling stories. He said, sir, what happened to these things? I don't know. But the only thing I know is we pray, they will come back. We're just talking about testimonies. Testimonies. Things that happened that are very dramatically miraculous. Why don't we see more of them these days? It's an important quest in your heart. And literally get up at night and ask the Lord that question. Yes. You get up, time to pray. See, Jesus says, seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Go and check when you rise up during the night to pray. What are you praying about? Many of us make it the core of our prayer. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, with what shall we clothe ourselves? The very things Jesus said, don't make the center of your praying. I've told this story so many times, but I won't say it enough. Ben Kasse found out that anger was going to destroy his destiny. So he ran into the closet. He stayed there for a few hours. By the time he came out, listen, it's not psychology. It's not psychology. Someone said, maybe he realized, and then he did. You can't get the grips on yourself by yourself.
Yes,
you can't. The man just realized that, the young guy, I'm going to destroy my destiny like this. And he went inside and said, God, please help me. He left that place. Years later, he got the title Gentle Ben. He became a gentle guy. A man who before that in anger had stabbed a friend of his. He became a gentle guy because he got into the closet and prayed. What am I saying? Let's make important things our prayer points. Paul said, concerning spiritual gifts, covet earnestly. Did you notice what he said? That is, ask yourself, as an example, here we talked about it before, everything by the Spirit, business by the Spirit, parenting, how? You are a teacher, teaching how? You are a pilot, piloting how? That is flying a plane, how? Answer me like you are here. Driving your own car, how? Listen, brother, this is an odd joke, so. It says, one testimony this man gave. In fact, no, many of them. I remember one day, my friend and he lives abroad. He came around. His father was ill. So he called me that I was in town. So I went to stay with him. So we're just hanging around the hospital there. After we sat in our car and sat there for a long time. So time to move. I just decided to go back. And I don't know why I came down to go and check the back of my car. You know, some children had sat down there to be playing. When the car for so long, got my friend, because he lives in America, I knew the temperature, this was somewhere in Imo State. I knew the humidity and the heat was quite difficult. That's why we came to the car. I put on the engine, put on the AC. So we put off wound the glass up. So they chilled the car for his sake. So we could talk for a long time. The car was running, chilling the atmosphere for us. Time to move. I can't remember why I just got up to go and look. Look at these children playing behind, sitting on the floor. My car then didn't have reverse, How many cars had reverse camera those days? This reverse camera. Didn't have. Driving by the Spirit. John Graham Lake told the story once he was driving. You can get his little book, Adventures in God. Easy to download. They are all on the public domain now. Just look for Adventures in God, PDF. You'll see it's free to download. And he said, as I was about to take a curve, just had this urge to move to the wrong side of the road. He's driving. He can't have this urge. Move away from here. Go to the other side of the road. So suddenly, he just decided to obey the urge. And he moved away from this right lane, moved over to the left, and moved off to the shoulder. As soon as he did that, one long 18-wheeler, something like that, lorry, big truck, that was trying to take a wide curve. He just saw the thing had occupied the other side. And if he had continued, he would have run into it. And those guys don't have control. Just in case you did not know, please, let me just drop it for you. When you are driving, any vehicle bigger than you, stop for it. I don't need any explanation like that. See, you are going. How many tires does your car have? 4. If it's anyone with 6, slow down. If you get 8, park. If you can't get 22, reverse, and that is just go up the road. There's no point in struggling. I came here first. Let me not say more than that. No point. Sometimes, not a joke, they didn't see you. They are so big, they don't see many things around them. I've seen them run over things before, and they are not aware the thing is there. They think just a small bump on the road, and they keep going. I saw a luxury bus off 6th Avenue here, knock a bike down. The bike man quickly jumped away. He climbed the back and continued going. Yeah, I was watching. I don't think he knew that the bike was there. It was tight traffic. That one came and squeezed himself between other people. When the luxury bus turned, he knocked him down. Good enough, he didn't kill him. He just killed his bike. He jumped off. The luxury bus just ran over it as if a piece of stone was on the road. Check the size now. I'm talking about driving how? By the Spirit. Safety in your home. How?
By the
By the Spirit. By the Spirit. Once a woman, that's the story I want to tell when I began to talk about that. I read this story long ago. A little boy came home and he was just sad. You could see he was depressed. And the mother asked him, what is the problem? He said, there's no problem. You know what the mother did? Next morning when it was time to pray, or is it that night, the mother decided to ask God, what is the problem with my son? Then she remembers something that happened to her when she was a little girl. And she decided to tell the story. As you're telling the story, the guy whose head was down lifted up his head. Little young boy lifted up his head. I was listening to the mother. And the mother told that story. And the boy started asking questions. And as she was asking questions, as he was asking, the mother was answering them. Before the end of the prayer, he was back to his normal self. What was the problem? The boy was in school. You know the way children can talk rough. And one of his classmates told him that he's a small guy, that he remains small all his life. And the little boy, the thing entered him. He now suddenly saw himself looking small the rest of his life. And he didn't want to tell his mother. And the mother, what happened that day? The woman was praying. She just remembered that when she was young, she was smallish. And then she grew. She just telling the story. You know what? I was a little girl. I was very small. Then this happened. And now look at me now. And God helped me. I ate my food. I did my work. And look at, So the boy raised his head like, you mean I'm going to grow? How did she know to tell that story? How?
By the Spirit.
By the Spirit. When you hear things like that, I know you can buy CCTV. But how do you buy CCTV for your child's heart? And you know, whatever is going on inside that child's heart, God knows. What am I saying? You should ask yourself, you heard this testimony now. Say, Lord, from now, parenting is how? By the Spirit. And listen to this. These are things you enter into deliberately by praying and asking God. Paul said, desire earnestly these gifts. Word of knowledge is not for, of course, what that woman used was a word of knowledge combined with a word of wisdom. It's not all of us waiting for word of knowledge. Pastor will be in front. There is somebody, see, that's one area. It works. A lot of word of knowledge that operates when you are preaching, you are not even aware it operated. You are just speaking, you say something. Look, you've caught two people. Red, blue handed. Giving them what God is saying. And you continue your message. That's preaching. You can be in the office, people are plotting against you, and you will hear the plot. You will hear the plot, and God will tell you, don't worry about them. Just laugh about it. Do you follow what I'm going to say here? One of our brothers those days, he was in school. I think his shoe was wet, so he left it out to dry. So as he was climbing the steps, now he was very far away from there. He heard somebody pick the shoes. You're not getting my point. How do you keep shoes on the ground? How do you hear shoes being picked? Even if you're standing there. He had gone. He had gone away. Then he heard the click as somebody picked it. And the thing clicked almost physically in his ears. And he knew, those are my shoes being picked. So he ran back there and the shoes were not there. So he looked left and right. He thought, there's a staircase here. So I ran up the steps and he saw the guy carrying the shoe in his hands and grabbed the guy. You're not getting my point. He heard the shoe. Just sounded in his ears like click, as if somebody, you know, picked something, made a lot of noise. Pum! He heard it and he ran back there. When I hear gas explosions, one day I think I was alone in the house. That's my wife and I think it was December period, she was not around. So I just wanted to drink water. So there was no water. Of course, our bedroom was upstairs. So I said, okay, let me go down and go and get a glass of water. Enter the kitchen. No, I got to the dining. It was around 11:30, and I heard. Well, there's a gift God gives me, has given me. When I hear any sound, or I smell anything, I don't dismiss it. I will investigate until I find out what's that sound. What's that smell? So I just. So I stopped. So I'm going back upstairs. I entered the kitchen. The sound got louder. What is making this sound? One ninja turtle, rat, decided that what he wanted to feed on was my gas pipe hose. And this little rascal had eaten and punctured into it. Maybe when the smell now hit his face, he ran away. And they left it hissing, filling my kitchen while my wife and I were upstairs. The thirst was not normal. The thirst, it wasn't a normal thirst. Because God just said, go there, go and turn off that thing. Of course, because there was a way the pipe, the hose was, you know, the hose passed through the wall. So one little rodent had entered into the wall, created a colony. Of course, after that, I fixed all of that. Now, the point I'm making is that, how many things you want to plan for? What about the day I was sleeping, Transeculum? Not Transeculum now. Yeah, that same house. I was sleeping. I just felt my stomach turn. So I woke up. I was pain in my stomach. What was that? So I got up and went to the toilet. I didn't know what was causing the pain. Let's make a long story short. After that, I didn't understand. So I now sat. It was night. So I decided to go and watch TV. Catch the news. I just put on the news. I was sitting down there. I remember that day, Victory was ill. It was a very small boy and was lying down beside me in the room. So he came out. After I was, what's the problem? So I said, come, let's go back to sleep. Only for me to enter the room and something was off. The fan fell. The hob was a very heavy one. Fell directly on my pillow. That was the day I understood that an angel smote Peter on the side. Pam! This guy tapped me. Get up! They planned for your head. So it was when the fan hit the pillow and it was still spinning that it disturbed the young boy who was sleeping beside. So he woke up. He wasn't injured. So he just staggered out of the room and saw me where I was in the sitting room. Yeah, daddy, my wife, which was not around, she traveled. Safety is of the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. Told the story of when I was walking down somewhere off this Ogui Road, yes. Another stadium area. Off one of, and boys, I still remember the guy with his gun sticking from under his shirt like this. Till today, I don't know why he ran. He and his friend just jumped in the car and took off. I was driving had one nice 300E with a fish mouth. You know, this customized, altered mouth. I had one funny mouth like this, the nose. I was standing beside it waiting for somebody. I think the boys had to steal the vehicle. Broad daylight. As they were heading to where I was, I didn't think anything of it. It was later on I put two and two together. They just called. Let's assume his name is Andrew. Andrew. They called. The boy looked. He ran, entered the car, and they zoomed off. And I was still standing there like nothing happened. It was later I suddenly realized what I just experienced. I knew enough. I saw his gun sticking under his shirt like this, not sticking out. And they were walking he was driving slowly. He was walking in front of the car towards where I was. I guess two angels just made themselves manifest, like armed mobile policemen. And the boys decided that it's not a good day to die. Now, what am I talking about? When you hear stories like this, testimonies like this, stuff like that, you ask yourself, say, Lord, what is going on? I don't know what I get my point. He said, covet earnestly the best gifts. God will let you know. See, when Solomon decided to execute Adonijah, when Solomon decided that he was going to kill Joab and sack Abiathar because Bathsheba came into him and said, let your brother Adonijah have Abishag. That was the name, right? Your father's wife. Young girl that they gave to the father when he was old. She's now a king's widow. Solomon didn't want. So give to your brother now. And that's why Adonijah just came in. Ask Bathsheba, can I ask you for something here? Tell my brother. You know I was the king that was first selected, but anyway, it is what it is. It is what it is. Please tell my brother to give me, let me have Abishag as a wife. The mother walked in. Mommy, what can I do for you? Oh, not much. Do you want to marry Abishag? Not exactly. I don't think I really like her. All right, let her be married off to your brother, Adonijah. And Solomon went back, sat on the throne, and said, why are you beating around the bush? Just tell me to abdicate and let him mount the throne. And the mother said, waiting. Shebi, it is the throne you want to collect for him. Now listen, let me make a long story short. In an instant, in a flash, he saw the whole plot. In a flash, he saw the whole plot. In a flash, like this. He knew who was inside. Adonijah, Joab, Abiathar. Oh, they don't believe I belong to this room. It was my father that decided by God's instruction. But they were never in alignment with it. They had been plotting. In one instant, he saw everything. See, in one instant, everything tied together. Collect my brother. Execute him. What? Joab, bring him. Joab that his father had told. Say, you are very wise. You know what to do. Make sure his gray hair does not go to the grave in peace. For certain important people that he killed, he shed, the Bible says, the blood of war in the time of peace. He ran into the temple. So bring him out from there. He's clinging to the horns of the altar. Forcefully take him out. They brought him out and killed him. He looked at Abiathar. He said, because you carried the effort before my father, when my father was running up and down that time, you can go home. But the point I'm making is that how did he know? How did he know? That's what they call administration by the Spirit. Ruling by the Spirit. What are we talking about? That's what we should be desiring. That's what we should be desiring. That whatever it is that I'm doing, it will be how? By the Spirit. It's something you press into. Whatever it is you are doing, you close your eyes and say, Father God, this year I want to go close that to you. I'm a parent. Enough of struggling. Parenting must be how? By the Spirit. I'm a teacher. Enough of struggling. Teaching must be how? By the Spirit. I'm a business person. Business how? By the Spirit. But of course, the message is that you enter into it by desire, by praying, by saying, God, this is what is important to me. This is what is important to me. And this year we began to teach along those lines that, listen, people of God, when we are praying, let's make these things the focus of our hearts that we want. See, you know what David said, was prophesying, of course. Solomon also. He said, one of the things I've seen on this earth, evil under the sun, I've seen princes riding on horses. Sorry, I've seen princes walking on bare feet, walking on their feet up and down, yet servants, slaves, are the ones riding on horses. Now, I want to give you a trick of Satan, how he ensures that that happens. He convinces believers to change the plane in which they are walking. See, you can never, by divine order, you cannot outsmart unbelievers in their own sphere. They are wiser than you. Okay, you want to do business. If you're a Christian, you don't want to cheat. If you're a Christian, you don't want to shoot anybody. You can't bear false witness. You can't put Igbo in somebody's pocket to go and tell NDLA. Are you getting my point? You want to get one guy out of the way. You go and put Igbo in his pocket. You know what they call to put Igbo in somebody's pocket? Literally, you can put hemp in his pocket and drive him to where NDLA is. You wouldn't do that. So how do you intend to beat them when you are doing the same business? There's no way. They are more diligent. They are more dedicated. One of the things you must do is to make sure that, look, whatever you are doing, you are not doing their way at all. You are not pursuing the same agenda. Your goals are different. Why? You have to inject the Spirit into what you are doing. Imagine that Solomon, what's his name? Joseph was an investor. Do you get my point? He'll be able to tell you the price of some of these things 5 years down the line. Where I'm going is this. There are things that happen sometimes to us as believers. Just ask ourselves that, are we not believers? Are we not believers? See, this thing must offend you too. Now, seriously, when they say economy is rough, as far as I'm concerned, no believer should ever say it. Both as discipline and also in personal experience. See, Jesus didn't used to do show. No, he used to do real things. What I'm trying to say is that when they said pay this tax, the poll tax, the temple tax, he said, we're not supposed to pay, but because Peter has said we pay, he said, now take your hook, go to the river, all right, and fish, catch a fish. The first one you catch, we have enough money in his mouth for you and for me. Now, that's pretty unusual. But Jesus was not showing off. That was, you know, the people who collected the tax did not know where the money came from. Did you hear what I said? They didn't know. All they knew is that Peter said, I'm coming. And they come. Pay. Oga, where money? Jesus said, go and do this. So Peter told those boys, we pay. He said, how much is it? Wait. And he left with his fishing hook in his hand. He got there, threw it in. So the first fish you catch, he brought it out, removed the coin from the mouth, and he went and gave it to the guys. I told them we'll pay. They don't, whether he fished it or hunted it or went to work for it, they don't know. All they know was that they paid. What am I trying to say? Jesus was not showing off to anybody. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? It means that such miracles should happen in our lives at least once in a while. At least once in a while. I told you about one man. And listen, I collect that anointing again in Jesus' name. Thank you for saying amen, because that was for me, all right? Thank you. I appreciate it. Because shortly before the man died, he called me one day. As soon as I picked the phone, you know normally, hello? You know they call hello? He didn't say that. As soon as I picked the phone, I said, hello. He said, the Lord will anoint you. His mighty hand will be upon you. He prophesied and prophesied and prophesied and prophesied. All I said was, amen, amen, sir, amen, amen, amen. Once I hung the phone, I called my wife. I said, see, anointing the shele for here, collect. I called her immediately. When you come back, come, let me lay hands on you. Somebody just blessed me. Let me tell you the story of the man. He's a man who I told you. I've told the story many times. But one of the supernatural supply story he told, he had a bag of rice in the house. And people were coming and going, family, visitors. And they noticed that the bag of rice did not finish. And they kept on eating and eating and eating and eating. This rice wouldn't finish. Then one day the wife said, this rice, won't you finish? Open it, there was nothing inside. They had eaten rice, so the woman became alarmed. Say, which kind of abami rice is this one? You know what they call abami? Nufela is to call himself what? Abami Eda. See, which kind of abami is this one? Say, the moment she said it, this rice, which day will you finish? They got there, there was nothing. It had finished. Because she opened her mouth. He told the story of when he took his wife and his family. I don't know whether their first child or the second, but he had a little baby. They went to go and visit his own parents in Ibadan. Yes, very much like Enugu. There are parts of Enugu that, you know the way it is with water. Are you getting my point? And listen, I want you to listen to this carefully, because from now, please, I want to be hearing testimonies, because God will release testimonies into the lives of those who are hearing me. Said so that day, we got home, only to realize that there was no water. They didn't have water. And his mother said, it's even good you came. Because this is your car, we'll be easy to go and fetch water. Ah, he said, no, that's not the reason why I came with the car. He said he was so unhappy. So he told his mother, water will flow today. They had pipes everywhere. He said, water will flow today. The mother laughed. He said, number one, we have not had water in months. He said, number two, if they want to start water flowing again, this is Ibadan. This is the last area they will put water. He just told the mother, water will flow today. Okay, the mother said, okay. So he began to pray. And he prayed. He prayed until the taps began to whistle. Oh, if you've been there before, when we were young, we used to hear, you know the water is rushing down. What? Oh, I said, good. Then a few drops of water came out of the tap and stopped. He left the house and went to the compound. So he went to chase the water. Said, you're not going anywhere. He came out and continued to pray. Began to call the water. Finally, the water began to rush. When he had a steady flow, full flow, by that time it was like almost 12 midnight. Everybody was asleep. Went and woke them up. Come and fetch water. He went to go and sleep. They fetched water in everything that had space in it. Spoon, they put water. He woke up next morning, saw that everywhere was full of water. They had water everywhere. By that time, the water had stopped flowing. Now, if you remember, now we all use plastic tanks. For those of you who are old enough, it's aluminium tanks we're using those days. Rectangular. They're like box, you know. Some of the rectangles, some of the squares. Yeah. So it was one of those ones. So he went, they had filled the one they had in the house. So they opened it. He told them to open. They opened it. It was full. So then to close it back. And he told his mother, watch. I'm going to be around for 1 week. When I'm leaving, open it again. This water won't go down 1 inch. And they were using water. Using water. All the ones they fed. Of course, the house was full. Use water. The day he was leaving, his wife and his baby or the children, they were inside the car. The load was inside there. Before he entered the car to drive off, told his mother, oh, yeah, open the reservoir. They opened it and it was full. So that they could close it. Then he drove off. So I told the water is not going down. This is a man I knew. Credible. It's a man I knew. You know, when you hear things like that, what are you even doing sleeping some night? Just wake up and say, Lord, wait. Come first. Lord, no, sit this chair. Sit down there. Let me sit on the floor here. But you must show. Seriously. Say, Lord, I can't live life mundane like this all the days of my life. I will not have a personal story to tell. I won't have a personal testimony. Nothing. There are times you will fall sick. You will throw away your phone, carry all the medicine you have, throw into the dustbin. Say, well, I want to die or get healed. Yeah. When young students, we used to do things like that. Say, but what kind of thing is this one? Do you know what? If you have that kind of quest for the Lord, he will meet us. He will. That's what I said to you the other day, that listen. Oh, when you have trouble, be happy. James said, count it all what? Joy. I had some experience recently. I said, God, thank you. Because you don't think when we, you know. That's the man who I told the tire went down. He felt the car lean to one side. People were coming, oh, your tire is fly. He didn't have his flat tire. He didn't have a spare tire. So he turned to the tire and said, get up. The tire got up. It's time you say, Lord, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Waiting. Greater works than this shall they do. Because I go to the Father. That is, Jesus wants your life to have greater works than was testified of concerning him. And that's what gives him joy. What am I saying? That should be the desire, the drive, the quest. See, if you have that quest, God will meet it. He will. If you have that desire, that drive, that God, this is what I want. You know what? He will meet it. You know, I was hearing testimony, you know, because of, you know, like I said, if you watch YouTube, the kind of things you listen to, other things will pop up. Stop me to some testimonies, and I just say, God, is this man telling the truth or is lying? Lord, why will he lie? Okay, if he's telling the truth, did you travel? Do you get what I'm saying? This man said, I work with Pastor T.A., we know him, Prophet T.A. Obadari. So the man was traveling. He says, I will need to buy for this. The man said, I'm going somewhere in a hurry. Finally, the car stopped. No, this was in the north. No filling station here or there. He told the man, Selga, fuel don't finish. So he said, get me sand. He opened the tank and poured sand inside. And told the man, start the car. The man said, we drove to where we're going and returned on sand. So the man said, get me sand. You hear some testimony, just shake your head, say, Lord, hey, but Elijah did worse than this now. He did greater things. Do you get my point? Yeah. You read testimony, Elisha. Those things are real. Get this little book, Gentle Breeze of Jesus. When school does this, we'll pray some prayers. You will see results. The day we chased, I tell you stories once in a while. The day we chased demons out of my friend's house. Came to school. We're small, small boys though. I'm certain I was not more than 19. Told that, look at what's happening in his house. That day, I was even ill. I couldn't stand up. I had a fever. Three of us, we joined hands and cast demons out of his house. All, many states away from where we were in Benin. The demons ran. They came next time and said, look at what has happened. Little test, here and there. One of our sisters came to me one day, told me how the brother had gone mad, terrorizing the house. He said his father's heart is broken. Why? Because last time they saw cigarettes in his room. So when she told me, I said, yeah, come. She came and met me. Give me your hands. Drove out that spirit worrying the boy. Next time, the boy woke up one day, went to church to give his life to Christ. Everybody was watching him like this. I said, no, it's an evil spirit disturbing your brother now. Let's handle him. We read only two books. Authority of the Believer. And we wreaked havoc. The Believer's Authority. He had two books. Authority of the Believer. The Believer's Authority. That's the book we read. Damn. And we caused trouble. Caused trouble. Brethren even use it to do something you won't like to hear. When I heard that one, even me, I said, one small girl on campus, one boy was chasing her, saying being girlfriend. The girl said, I know they do it again. They go to church now. I'll give my life to Christ. The boy said, Lila, I don't go agree. The girl went and reported him to Brethren. I can give you names. My wife knows some of this. A person in Port Harcourt. It was one that led the meeting. Say, what is his problem? The girl reported. Say, bring me your hands. They cast him in the name of the Lord. He tried to cross the road. The car killed him. Say, what rubbish is this? The girl said, you know what to do. He's a man I know. At least I know two people in that meeting. The guy who led it is a pastor in Port Harcourt. I can give you his name. And the guy who gave us the testimony. And they told him, what kind of rubbish? Give me, they joined their hands and cast him in the name of the Lord. In front of UBT, he tried to cross the road to go and buy some on the other side. The car came from Lagos, picked him up. 3 minutes later, he hit the ground, he was dead. Told the guy, you can go to church. Not kidding. We read the little book, Believer's Authority. We think I can cause trouble. No, as Christian, you have to, honestly, sometimes you read some testimonies. You say, Lord, so did you travel? Lord, you travel. Or now we regress now. Of course, he didn't go anywhere. What I'm preaching today is just to stir up our hearts and say, You know, what happens, like I told you, Satan will just, when we carry the gospel, now, is to use to get rich. That is where the power starts disappearing. I like one thing, was it Hosea that said it? Let me quickly open my Bible. So prayer, in fact, we'll use that one to start our prayer. Last time we were talking about the 7 dedications of a thirsty soul. That's what I'm still on, actually. The 7 dedications of a thirsty soul. Say, we have heard of your works, heard of what you did that time. Say, Lord, do it again in our days. Was it Hosea that said that? Is it Habakkuk? Habakkuk what? Yes. Verse 2. Read the new NIV. NIV it gives a very beautiful rendering of it. Do you have NIV there? Yes. Verse 2. Everybody read with me. 1, 2, let's go. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, this is a very powerful prayer. When you hear some testimonies of old, say, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of these testimonies of your deeds. In my life, Lord, repeat them. In our day, Lord, repeat them. I was saying something earlier, that miracles of supernatural supply, we should get testimonies of them every time. Yes. Jesus wasn't showing off. It was a private matter. And he supplied that need. It was a private matter. He wasn't doing a miracle for somebody to see. So it was just a private thing. So that is the kind of thing God will do. Look, when Elijah left the brook, it was not because God could not keep water flowing in that brook. It was because, like Jesus said, he had to be sent to a woman in Zarephath, which was not in Israel. God could have kept the water flowing in that brook. The brook did not dry because of drought. The brook dried because it was time for him to move to where he would deliver somebody. After all, that he was getting food to eat was a miracle. The God of that miracle could have continued. But there was a woman who was crying for help, who had nobody. There was no man to go out for her and go and struggle for food. The little she had was about to run out. And you know what? I have no doubt in my heart. She cries to God, help me. So God told Elijah, go and do something. Elijah went there with a powerful prophetic word. What do you have in your house? I can just make one meal. I have a bit of flour, a bit of oil. Just trying to get some sticks to cook that. He said, thus says the Lord. That thing will never finish. And that also happened. Until the trouble ended, the woman had enough. And we've seen testimonies of that in modern times. I just gave one now. About a family that was eating rice that refused to finish. When you hear things like that, you should pray the prayer. Go and memorize this. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe. Please, can I say something? Stop rationalizing the way testimonies. Yes, sir. Some people have, it's an evil spirit. It's an evil spirit. Every little thing you want to explain that that's not exactly what happened. Are you sure? Are you sure? Just say, Lord, this is wonderful. If it's as the way they have said it, please do such a thing in my life and say amen to that. Seriously. And you move on with your life. Some people even sit down there and, hey, there's one woman, I read this story. Follow healing preachers all over the place to show that people are not getting healed. I said, what thing concern you? She woke up one day, she had a sharp pain in her side. She went to the hospital, they said maybe she had a gallstone. They did a small surgery for her, brought her the gallbladder. I said, no, it's not a stone. She just developed a cancer in that area. Instead of her to go and say, Lord, I'm sorry. She was still saying, they will say, God, put it on me now because I'm chasing it. I said, look at you. Do we need to tell you? You have worked it out. What she doesn't understand, oh, God, poor girl. She was a journalist. What she didn't understand was that all God said is, kneel down. Say, Lord, I beg. And he will do that miracle in your life. Now you go begin to testify. You want to know the truth? The girl was not doubting. Now, that's how human beings are. It's not that she was doubting that God could do that. He was the one that did that to her. But how will I go back out there? And start, you know, that's where one area where God blessed Paul. The very thing he was seeking to destroy, he now began to preach that same gospel. This woman said, listen, that's what happens to people like that. They said, lie, lie. So God said, dying, you shall die. If you are just, God will say, see, I will hear, you know, you are going to join a queue. When they are praying for people, you will stand there and I will heal you. And then you will take the mic and testify. Of course you will lose your job. Of course you will lose your friends. And God said, that is the price for your life. But most people are not willing to pay it. Well, my message to us today is, everybody pray this prayer. You have a minute. Meditate on it. NIV. You have a full minute. Repeat many testimonies you have heard. And say, Lord, in my life, do it. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in my day. In my time, make them known. In your wrath, remember mercy. That's Habakkuk chapter 3. I'm reading verse 2 in the NIV. Beautiful translation, the NIV. See, Lord, this is the drive, this is the desire of my heart this year, that I may know you. That I may know you. Lord, make spiritual things real to me. Make them real to me. I want to know. I want to give my own testimonies of my encounters with the Lord. Thank you for deliverance. Lord, thank you for deliverance that I've heard of. told the story of my friend. In a time of fear, he ran into go and pray. And suddenly he felt somebody in the room. And the Holy Spirit just said, turn. He turned and he looked. And he saw the person in the room. The angel of God blocked the door. Had a smile on his face and was looking at him. And he knew the Lord was saying that, I'm the Lord, your shield. I'm your protector. I'm your strong tower. I'm the garrison around you. The chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. See, Lord, I've heard of your fame. In my life, do them. This is the drive. This is the desire of my heart. Pray that prayer. See, this is what happens until we start saying to God, this is what is important to us. That I may know him. That's what Paul said. I was willing to suffer the loss of all things that I may know him and be found in him. Not having the righteousness of my own, which comes from my own works, the works of the law. Praise the Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of your word. Pray that prayer. Because faith comes by hearing. Once you hear that word, when that word enters into you, faith is stirred up. And once faith is stirred up, manifestations will follow. It may sound like a funny prayer, but pray it. Say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Every unbelief that is hindering the manifestation of the power of God in my life. Every unbelief hindering the manifestation of the power of God in my life. Help my unbelief. You need to pray that prayer. Say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. What does it mean to help your unbelief? Say, Lord, give me understanding. Give me insight. Breathe into me the spirit of faith. Those are the seeds to tell us that you can't pray for faith. Brethren, I found out you must pray for faith. You must. Just studying alone does not bring faith. You can hear and not understand. You can see and not perceive. Say, Lord, help me to hear the word that breeds faith. That's how you pray for faith. When you say, Lord, I want faith in this area, he knows what to do. He will send you insight. He will send you understanding. He will give you visions and revelations. Paul said, now let me come to visions and revelations. There's what is called visions and revelations in Christianity. And we must come to visions and revelations. We must come to visions and revelations. Say, Lord, I don't want to be a prince that's walking around. But let me ride the horse of the spirit that you have prepared for your children. Say to the Lord, I need to come to visions and revelations. Bring me to visions and revelations. Visions of the truth. Visions of Christ. Visions of God. Visions of the word of God. Visions of what God has prepared for me in Christ. Revelations of what God is doing in my life. Say, Lord, give me the revelation that begets the faith that bets miracles. Say, Lord, give me that revelation that begets the faith that births miracles. It's what is called visions and revelations. Please meditate on that scripture again. Oh Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in my day. In my time, in my life, make them known. You know, Jesus said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Say, Lord, henceforth, I shall lay hands on the sick. Lord, let them recover. Peter led them to pray like this, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, that the Lord will do miracles. Pray like he prayed. Say, Heavenly Father, when I pray for people, when I pray for situations, and I mention the name of Jesus, stretch forth your hand, Lord, to heal the sick. Lord, I want to give Jesus glory. I want to demonstrate that indeed he is alive. Say, Lord, my desire is to demonstrate that Jesus is alive. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Say, that will be my testimony in the name of Jesus. That I laid hands on the sick and they recovered. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Repeat them in my day. In our day, in this church, Lord, that when I say church now, I mean the church of God in this generation. Repeat them. Make them known. Have mercy. Show mercy. Lord, let Jesus be demonstrated as alive around us. Say, Lord, do all kinds of miracles for the glory of your name. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, in the name of Jesus, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Now, let's just continue what we were praying about the other time, all right? Remember I said the seven dedications of the thirsty soul. And is that thirst we are talking about again? We must be thirsty. What did I say? Yes. God said, "If you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart." Yeah, that's what he says. And listen, you know, we say this here all the time, that we are not here to pray. We are here to do what? Learn how to. We are here to start a habit. And what I'm asking is that this prayer we have prayed today, let it be in your mouth every day, next 1 week. Wake up at night and just spend 5 minutes. Bring out this scripture and read it again. The easiest way to pray this kind of thing, just carry the scripture. And, you know, status, what do you call it, whatever it is, let it just pop up on your screen and read it. See, you don't need to be too inventive when it comes to praying. Inventing words nobody has heard before. It will not work. It will not go far. Go and create English that you have never heard. This one is clear enough. When you say it, at least we have discussed now, we have had a session of admonition. When you utter those words, the Lord will know exactly, in fact, you will know exactly what you are saying. Paul said, I did not come with arguments. I didn't come with excellency of speech. When I brought the gospel to you, I don't want your faith to rest in how eloquent I was when I came. How did I come? He said, I came in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So like I was saying, so when we began this year, my brother and I were praying. The Lord gave us these instructions, I believe. We talked about the seven dedications of a thirsty soul. The other time we prayed about two of them, which we have repeated partly now. And the last one we talked about was the fact that, well, let me just go over some instructions. We took this from Romans chapter 12. This was the word of the Lord. He said, love must be sincere. Say amen to that. He said, we must hate what is evil.
Amen.
He said, cling to what is good.
Amen.
He said, be devoted to one another in brotherly love.
Amen.
Honor one another above yourselves.
Amen.
Never be lacking in zeal.
Amen.
Keep your spiritual favor.
Amen.
Serving the Lord.
Amen.
Be joyful in expectations.
Amen.
Be patient in affliction.
Amen.
Be faithful in prayer.
Amen.
Share with God's people who are in need.
And
make a habit of hospitality.
Amen.
This is a very practical. Please, this was pulled out from Romans chapter 12, from verse 9 to verse 13. Summarize those things and look at it every day in your life. My love must be sincere. We discussed it before. What is love? Love means this intense desire to be a blessing to somebody else. That is, what I mean is this. Somebody else's progress gives you satisfaction. That's what love is. Love is when somebody else's joy makes you happy. Somebody else's success makes you feel as if you succeeded. Even if you are not the one that was responsible for making it happen, you are happy for the individual, sincerely. And when the opportunity comes for you to make it happen, you are eager because you are essentially buying joy for yourself. You are buying satisfaction for your own life. That's the meaning of love. So you must have it, and it must be what? Sincere. The insincere love is one when the actions are correct, but the heart is not really there. You know, it's me that's been helping you. You want him to know. Real love doesn't really care whether he knows or not, as long as he got it. I hope I get my point. Did he get it? Yes, thank God. He got it. And that's what the Bible says. It says your love must be what? Sincere. Hate what is evil. These are the dedication. Things we make up our minds that this year or this world I'm going after. What does it mean to hate what is evil? Don't give excuses for it, even when you see it in another person's life. That's what, to hate something. End it if the power is to do so is given to you. That's what it means to hate what is evil. Again, it's the dedication we make. That's what we are pursuing as believers. It says, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another, honor one another, don't let zeal be lacking in your life. Constantly have spiritual favor as you serve God in everything that you are doing. And be joyful. I should add that one to it again. Be joyful in what? Hope. What does it mean to be joyful in hope? Listen to this. Expect greater things in your life. Expect better things are going to happen to you. And be happy. Do you get my point? God blessed me with that thing when I was a young man. And I still have it till now. The situation of this country has never scared me. When I see people tossing themselves up and down, saying, you don't know what's going to happen in this country. And look, I told you the other day, I saw one young boy. I was giving it a lecture. There's something I said, he now came later to say something opposite. So I called him, I said, come. I said, you're a very stupid boy. What did I say? He looked at me. I said, what did I say? He said, I'm a stupid boy. I said, say it again, that you're a very stupid person. He said, I am a very stupid person. I said, good. You have hope now. There's hope for salvation. I told him, I said, listen, my friend. You know why I said so? He said, why? I said, when you are in the presence of your seniors, ask questions, stop talking. I said, stop talking, ask questions. Do I look like your mate? He said, no, sir. I said, good. When it comes to age, of course, that's literal. Me and your father, we are mates. We're in the same age bracket. Very likely, I'm older than his father. If he's a first son, I'm probably older than his father. I said, so when you get to the presence of people like me, stop talking. Ask questions. I have worked for longer than you have been alive. That is, any money. I told him, I've been a worker for longer than that. I was already paying taxes before your mother got pregnant and gave birth to you. So when you're talking about whether there's hope, there's no hope, you shouldn't talk. You should come and ask me, sir, is there hope? Then I will tell you whether there is or there is not. And if I tell you there's not hope, go to another man who has more sense than me. Because there is hope. I said, from experience alone, there's nothing you have seen that we have not seen. And we came out of it and worked stronger. The funny part is that this nation came out of it, worked stronger. And it's still waxing stronger every day. Yes. You just need God to open your eyes so you can see it. I saw a man in a video. I mentioned it there then when I saw it. He said, he has a friend. Now, let me not mix the stories up now. But anyway, this man lives in Nigeria. He's a foreigner. So anytime I'm talking to my friends who are Nigerians, 9 times out of 10, they are talking about problems. So when I'm talking to foreigners who live in Nigeria, 9 times out of 10, they are talking about the opportunities. They are talking about the opportunities. And believe me, they are taking hope. You know the other day? Now, this is a very funny one. You know, I told you I read news. Some people say, hey, businesses are leaving Nigeria. You know, there was a time a lot of them left. The businesses did not leave. It's the investors that left. Do you get my point? Somebody else bought it from them. So last week, I was now reading in the news. One of those businesses sold. I think it's one of these, either Guinness or Nigeria. Meanwhile, their turnover went over like 30-something business for the same period. I laughed. I said, oh, the people who left, you know why they left? Removing their profit out of the nation is more difficult. What they will now get, if they make 100 million naira, converting to dollars, they are getting less. So they decided it's not worth their time. But those who don't have sense say, hey, it shows the economy is going down. It's not going down. Somebody has bought it, who is not in a hurry to carry the money away. And his profit went up 34%? Did you read the news? That if between the first quarter of 2023, when they compare the first quarter of 2024, so their profit had gone up like 30-something percent. I laughed. I said, I shouting wahala. Some people say, monsieur, two opportunities everywhere. If you don't rejoice, you'll be blind. Fact. You will be blind to opportunities, you'll be blind to blessings. Fact. If you are not full of joy, see, God will bring your blessing your way. You will cast it out. You will tell, get behind me. So that scripture is very important. When it says, rejoice, be joyful in hope. Next thing it says, be patient in what? Affliction. Which means if things are rough, where are you running to? You know why you need to be patient in affliction? Because every trial, every temptation was started with an expiry date stamped on it. Before it started, they put an expiry date. That this will not last longer than this. So that church in Revelation say you will have tribulations for 10 days. So what you need to be is faithful for 10 days. Even if you don't know the number of days, just know one thing. Expiry date was stamped on it by the time it began. There's a saying they have in Western Nigeria. I need to give it to Auntie Taiwo in her language. Do you know it? I'll give you a small part. I won't say the rest so as not to bother those who don't understand. You know what that proverb says? It says, if Mao is pursuing you, you know where they call Mao? It's masquerade. He said, just keep running. Don't get tired. He said, keep trying. He said, because you see, as a man from earth is getting tired, so is the one who says it's from heaven getting tired. So don't think he has a spirit that you don't have. That's when they are pursuing you, just keep trying. Now trying to they try. That's what that proverb. That is what the proverb says. What am I going to say? So when you have affliction, the Bible says, be patient in affliction. The affliction too will get tired. And I will not tire first. Tell the affliction, say your name is sickness. Now you go tire. Me, I will live, I will not die. See, the Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Tell it like that. Say, the Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. That's why it says, be patient in affliction. Ah, no, God gave me that grace too. Ah, no, that one. I'll say, don't worry, you will be fine. Don't worry, I will be okay. No, I refuse all this argument of you are getting older. Me? Who? Do I look like I'm getting older? This behavior is cosmesis. The strength of God is my portion. Because the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in me. And it's giving life to my mortal body. Therefore, every affliction, every sickness, you are curable in my life. In your life, it is curable. Listen, he said, be patient in affliction. That affliction will wear out. But you will stand strong. That's the commandment of God. Every trial that you are going through has an expiry date. So while you are going through that, say, be joyful, be faithful in what? Prayer. Be what? Faithful in prayer. Just continue to pray. Don't ever get tired of praying. Say, I've asked the Lord before, then come and give thanks for it. I've given thanks, do it again. Then read scripture over it. That one is never, look, you can never get it wrong with reading scripture over a situation. You can never get it wrong. You need land, you need a house, you need something for your business, just start declaring the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant place. You know the lines, what it means? When they are sharing land, my heritage is good. My heritage is good. You see, in Enugu, when I hear the price of land, humanly speaking, it's frightening. When I discovered, I said, Father, I thank you. Lord, I really thank you. Because before you know what's happening, you think you have the money to solve all your problems. It's good for you to have problems you can't solve with money. So you solve it with prayer. And you'll give God glory. It's very important too. If everything, just deep hand in your pocket, you pray. Okay. Have you ever heard me now testify, say, I was going on the road, tire went down, I changed it. Amen. My spare. Is that preaching? Is that preaching? When I say a man spoke to the tide, get up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! God wants to give an hallelujah shout. What did I say? Say, God wants to give me. Say it like that. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah would not depart from your mouth. In the name of Jesus Christ. There's a shout of hallelujah coming to somebody's house. There is a shout of hallelujah coming into your house. I said there is a shout of hallelujah coming into your home. There is a shout of hallelujah coming into your home. He said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it's as if we're dreaming. Please, somebody is listening to me. God will make you think you are dreaming. Amen. Oh, the Lord will make you think you are dreaming. Amen. Oh, Father God. Let me read this scripture, then we'll close with it. We'll continue the prayer next time. The dedication of the thirsty soul. We say one must be dedicated to these things I've just declared, to a deep pursuit and a serious walk with God. Then number two, dedicated to prayer with thanksgiving and intercession. We talked about that extensively. Do your job. What is your job? Each name you bear in life, you are what? An intercessor. You must be making supplications on somebody or some situation's behalf on a regular basis. That's how you keep busy. Something God used to do to me once in a while, the Holy Spirit helped me. It's happened many times. There was a night I woke up like that. I didn't want to wake my wife up. She felt very bad. My stomach just decided to go on. How do you describe that kind of thing? You know, it's this frustrating tension and pain in an adult stomach. I don't know what I ate though. Whether I ate pineapple with Gary, I don't know. You know, there are combinations you eat. Your belly is supposed to swell. You take okpa with gouda. Why won't your belly swell? I've seen people who use rice for fried rice, and the appetizer. The main course is, you know, is pounded yam with soup. And the dessert comes, you know, abacha. In one stomach. Is it fried rice with chicken? Is that one that open? Oh, God, you see the open? Anyway, so that night, I don't know what I had. I woke up. You know this kind of thing that you feel like your stomach will burst. The tension. You touch it like this. It's like a pumped ball. Hey. I looked at my wife. I was really sorry for her. I didn't want to wake her up. I knew she was tired. So I suffered by myself for a while. After a while, I said, I'm not going to die without my wife knowing. That's it. Sweetheart. No, there's a way wives wake up. What is it? Sweetheart. Mm-hmm. Sweetheart. Mm-hmm. What is it? I'm not feeling well. Once I'm not feeling well, the way she will just wake up, she'll just boot fully, bam, fully alert. What is it? And she saw me. Will you drink hot water? I said, hey, wait, there's no way I can put anything. Inside his stomach. There's no way. I was walking up and down like this. I would turn this way. See, I don't pray before I even wake up. I've done everything. I will roll this way, stand on my feet, kneel down, stand up, lie down. I say, lie like this, put pillow here. But do you know one thing? This is where I'm going. Talking about, be devoted to prayer with thanksgiving and intercession. And you'll be faithful in prayer. Something happens to me all the time like that. Now, I'm a doctor, right? I'm a pathologist. I attend meetings twice a week where we discuss essentially difficult cases, a huge number, incurable. All right? And I know the pain that people go through. I've been to such meetings and you're just looking at the person and your heart breaks. So when things like this happen, what just happens to me is I say, Banky, this your stomach is gas. Whatever you ate, something is out of order. But basically, in my mind, in a few hours, you'll be fine. The story I'm telling you now, when it happened, I was in distress. I prayed. I tired to pray, self. One man have a story science, I'm not going to kneel down somewhere. I said, Lord, I know I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. What about those who can't see it? Yeah. Because in my mind, I just start playing many things. There are people who are in such distress every day, constantly. It's normal. There's no relief. The only relief is that one doctor will stick something, one nurse will stick something to their veins, push it inside, and knock them out silly. So they are essentially unconscious to have relief. This tension for a few minutes, maximum, maybe if you push them, constantly, maybe 2 hours. I wake up, I fall asleep, I doze off. It's night. And of course, by morning, I was fine. By morning, I was fine. And I said, Lord, what about those who will not be fine for the next 1 week, the next 1 month? Some will carry this pain and distress for 18 months, then die. One thing God has done for me is that anytime I get to touch, in fact, it's almost as if it's because of them I go through it. Because I forget myself. I'll now kneel down there. I will pray for such persons. Especially, I beg the Lord, I said, if any one of them happens to be listening to me, I'm praying for that individual, that pain will go, that healing will come, that the doctors wake up in the morning and say, what happened to you? And the fellow will just say, I woke up during the night and I prayed and God answered. Or I listened to a message and the Spirit of God entered into me from the word that I heard and set me on my feet in perfect health. That's the prayer I pray. What am I saying? He said, be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. Brethren, that's what you pray. That's the kind of prayer you pray. I told you before, it's a job. That's what I mean by do your job. Stop being so focused on yourself. Just think about those who are suffering more than you. Just for a moment. It's money you need, though. And see, somebody has to do this. Just look and say, hey. So it's a bigger house I want to rent. God, thank you that I'm looking for a bigger house. This one I'm saying, I can easily pay the rent. Just use Vex. You know what they call Vex? Carry the money. Look for somebody who cannot even pay for the one. Wait, that small room. He can't pay. Say, come, take money. Go and pay rent. Go. Sometimes we need to do that. Now, I'm not in this show a shit so that God will not. No. There are times out of appreciation, just look and say, God, so. It's like, fuel is expensive. Fuel is expensive. You can grumble all you want, but you always buy. You're always buying. There are those who are at bus station. They are just, if that bus stops, they whisper to the conductor, I beg. Conductor will look past. That bus will go. You know, for the last 30 minutes, is I beg. Why? Where he's going, he can't trek, he's tired, he has no money. You should pray that God, please lead me to such persons. Let me pay the affair. Well, do you know the funny thing about me? When fuel became costly, I started buying more. You know why? I started getting angry with seeing the price initially. I've stabilized now. That's why I won't come here often. Just buy plenty and go away. Drive for some time. But there are those at normal price they can't pay. Seriously, you should kneel down and pray for such persons. And say, Lord, please, help me. When I asked my son, how's school? He said, fine. Lectures have started. Yes, your classmates are back. He said, some of them have not paid their fees. And it's a private university. No, there's no, sorry, sir. You can't in. They are not letting you in. I said, well, if you have a close friend there that has not paid fees, talk to him and let me know. Do you get my point? So school has started now. Your classmate hasn't come back. Lectures have started because he hasn't paid fees. That's what I mean by do your job. Be devoted to prayer. One of our dedications is dedication to prayer with thanksgiving and intercession. Just leave your own wahala And think of somebody else's trouble for a moment. As I told the story of my stomach ache, it happened to me a number of times. I just said, Lord, this thing will go away. Maybe it's gas. Like I said, maybe when I ate something bad. I said, but there are those that, no, they didn't eat anything bad. In fact, they did not eat. They can't even eat. Something that's eating the intestine, eating the stomach. And listen, the truth is that God wants to heal people. Sometimes you just need somebody to say, Lord, please, on that person's behalf. Let's take a moment, pray that prayer, and then we'll close. Pray for somebody. I want to pray for somebody who is sick or somebody who's in dire need of something. Just mention names. Say, Lord, I know you will bless me. I know you have blessed me, but I'm not talking about me now. I want to pray for this person. And the Holy Spirit may draw something on your heart. You're not mentioning any names, but you're just praying for somebody sick in a particular area. And you're going to see that individual over the next 1 week. And you will lay hands, and there will be a discharge of the power of God to solve that problem. Now the Holy Spirit is placing that burden upon your heart to pray for somebody you have not even met yet. And you're going to meet the person over the next few days. Those are the times you pray. You don't even know what to say. The Holy Spirit starts helping you. It starts helping you with groanings that cannot be uttered. Start helping you with words you don't understand. You start praying in other tongues, praying by the Spirit. Because what you are praying about, you don't know. But I'm telling you, you are going to meet that person over the next few days. And now you are going to lay hands on the sick, and that sick will recover. You are going to lay hands on the sick, and that sick will recover. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.